It is Thursday. This is our first week of This Morning with Aaron Keck, a show that I'm still having trouble with the title with, but still moving over all of these great stuff from the old Aaron Keck show in the afternoon. Some of that staying with Brian McConnell, like conversations with the mayors, but some of our very favorite features move over with us this morning. And I mention that because without further ado... It is time for the first ever morning installment of History Matters, joined in the studio by the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, whom I believe I'm seeing in the morning for the very first time ever, right?
I know, it's amazing. I'm just thinking this is later in the afternoon now.
But,
it's great to be here.
Leave here, go home, get dinner, go to bed. It's great.
And for any of you who have not caught this program before, just a word of kind of introduction. What we do is we go through... This week in history and look at international, national, local, regional events. We've been doing this actually for several years, and it turns out that we have great fun. So I hope if this is the first time that you're hearing this,
You're in for a treat. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
Although we talk about this week in history, but every so often we come on the show and we can't get off of the current week in history because it's such a phenomenally historic week.
That's right. Yeah, we were all kind of wrapped looking at what was happening yesterday and. But, you know, that's why history helps. It puts things in perspective. This is not the first time that we've had people being violent and doing things. The aberrations get a lot of attention, but usually it's a lot of people doing a lot of good things. So this show actually looks at a lot of different things in history. There's lots of airplay being done about what happened yesterday, and rightly so. And let's just say that this is about 4 a.m., I guess, is when finally President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris got the votes that they were finally counted up. And they are going to be the next president, vice president. So I think that is something worth celebrating.
Absolutely.
Part of the constitutional process that prevailed despite everything.
Yep.
What was your take on that yesterday?
It's weird how things stick with you, right? And someone once read someone who had a quote about the writer Norman Mailer, whom I've never read and probably won't, but this stuck with me. They said, most great writers observe the world. Right. Norman Mailer was the only one who observed himself observing the world. And I thought that was a really cool way of looking at it. So every time something historic happens, I try to look inside myself and say, okay, how actually am I reacting to this? And what struck me yesterday was that a couple of years, like 3 years ago, I think at this point, Gene Bolduc, who hosts the Weekend Water Cooler here on 97.9 The Hill, had me on as a guest one week, and we were talking about Trump like you do, and she brought up the 25th Amendment then, and I said, and I had continued to say ever since, no, the 25th Amendment is not a road we want to go down, because that would effectively be a coup, and we don't want that. Yesterday, I changed my mind. Like, yesterday, I was watching what was going on, and I said, no, actually, now is the time for this, because, we've got someone in the White House who, like, Twitter and Facebook have to do a public service and lock his account because every time he speaks, he's inciting violence. That's what we've got right now, so something's got to be done.
Well, you know, I think back to, and this is where history helps to put things in perspective, back in 1939, at the New York World's Fair, they celebrated four freedoms, religion, speech, press, and assembly. And then in 1941, or as the clouds of war began to gather in the nation, Franklin Roosevelt gives a speech called The Four Freedoms. And it's actually this week in history, January 6, 1941. And those four freedoms that he thought were the most essential were freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and most importantly, freedom from fear. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that because That's January, and then by the end of the year, by December 7th, of course, Pearl Harbor and the nations plunge into war. But those four freedoms become essential to both promoting what we stand for, and that becomes the basis of Norman Rockwell's great Four Freedoms that helps raise money for war bonds. But especially that last one, I was thinking about that yesterday, that that is something that is essential. And Norman Rockwell's great picture for that was parents tucking in their kids at bed and in their arms as the newspaper with the headlines.
Yep.
And I thought that's what parents were doing yesterday, was tucking their children in and making sure that everything was okay.
Yep.
And in a nation of 330 million people, a lot more people are doing good than the aberration.
Absolutely.
I remember, you know, James Cameron's movie Titanic, when the first shots, it's so big, it fills the screen, and then he slowly backs out into finally it's a speck. And that's a little bit like yesterday. We said, oh my gosh, but if you back it out against this great mosaic of America, you realize that there's a lot more good going on than not. And that's why I want to celebrate a couple of people this week in history that I think are really interesting. And it's, you know, it's just nice to know. One was Louis Braille. Now, of course, we know the Braille system. Oh, that's, yes, this was a real person, born January 4th, 1809. And he was not born blind. Actually, he was playing with some of his father's tools as a saddle maker and actually poked his eye with an awl. And it got infected, and then he lost the sight for both eyes. Well, he loved music, and he eventually became a teacher, and he wanted to have something better for how to communicate. So he developed the Braille system for both music and also for reading. But you know how he did it? He used an awl, one of those pointed devices.
Oh,
to make
interesting.
To raise
okay,
dots.
All right.
And it wasn't terribly popular in his lifetime. It's only afterwards that people discovered it. And of course, he gets the credit now for developing that.
Another oh, that's one really that's cool. I didn't know that
cool.
story.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it. That's
okay.
I just love finding it. You know, we always are like, oh, this is really cool. Here's another one that I love. Samuel Morse. Now, we know that name. Oh, yes, the guy who convinced
the she hosts the midday show on 97.9 The Hill.
Yes, that's Nikki's brother. That's right.
Yes, yes.
Sammy. So, well, he was a guy who went to Yale, and he was interested in art and the new study of electricity at the turn of the 19th century. And he became a painter, went to Europe. And now this is something you don't know, the backstory. What do you mean he became a painter? And he's coming back on a boat, and he hears about the electromagnet, and he begins to think about an electrotelegraph, and then comes up with dots and dashes and demonstrates it January 6, 1838. Finally, persuades with some partners, persuades Congress to fund a line from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore. His first message is, what hath God wrought? Which I just think is just great.
See, that's a special person to be on a boat and walk by people talking about electromagnets and then develop this whole idea. If I were on that boat and I walked by two people talking about electromagnets, I would walk right on by and completely forget about it 5 seconds later.
Well, you know, and that's what's so exciting about how innovations develop. It's that creative idea of applying or looking at things differently. So I am such a great believer in the arts because of that reason, because creative people look at things differently and approach a problem and say, gee, I wonder if. And by 1861, you have the Western Union develops, and they've got a telegraph line across the nation.
Yep.
And within 5 years, one across Europe. And it, by the end of the 19th century, it spreads across the world.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We've got time for one more. What do we got?
Okay, one more. Here is a really good one. For those of you who like to cook, and during the pandemic, we've all been doing a lot more of that, or at least trying. Now, this is something you've probably heard about, the Fanny Farmer Cookbook. Well, Fanny Farmer was actually a real person. And she was born in 1857, lived to 1915. The thing that made it extraordinary, when she was actually confined to home with a kind of paralysis when she was a girl, and that's when she began her interest in cooking. The thing that made it different and why this cookbook is still in publication today is because she was one of the first people to standardize measurements. You know, before then,
okay.
It was like, well, you should grab a piece of whatever this is, the size of a quail's egg. Well, nobody knew what that was. So she said, it's a level teaspoon. It's a level cup. This was such a boon. And she also explained the science behind why it worked. That was a game changer for America Home. So those are great innovations to celebrate, and that's what I celebrate today going forward, is not the aberrations, but the people who are making a difference, just like everybody who's listening and tucking their kids in and explaining things. Everything's going to be okay, and that's why history matters.
And that is History Matters. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much. Happy New Year, and good morning.
Good morning.